From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. State scientists conducted the most important snowpack survey of the season in the Sierra yesterday. The survey helps them forecast the water supply for the coming year. So what did they find? Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca reports.
Every year around April 1st, hydrologists strap on snowshoes and slide a long metal pole into the snow near Lake Tahoe to find out just how deep it is. Last year, they found the snowpack at just 47% of normal. But this year, it's, well, normal, just about 97% of average. Alyssa Lynn is a senior meteorologist for the State Department of Water Resources.
It's pretty good news. It could certainly be worse. March wasn't a very great month, and that would have really boosted us up. It would have been nice, you know, to be sitting at 150% of normal, you know, in terms of water supply. But at least the first half of the winter went pretty well.
Lynn says 2 years in a row without much snow can create serious problems for the state.
Last year was a really dry year. We had kind of a big hole to dig out of this year. Now it looks like we at least won't get further toward the drought conditions, but we can't make up for last year.
But while news of a healthy snowpack is good for skiers, state officials are warning it may not translate into water for farms and cities. The state channels that water by pumping it through the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta. This year, a court order to protect the Delta smelt is restricting pumping. And the state says some users may only receive 35% of the water they ask for, no matter what the snowpack survey says. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca.
Hundreds of students and teachers rallied in Long Beach yesterday against the governor's proposal to cut 10% from the budget of the California State University System. The California Faculty Association organized the event where it urged students to fill out online protest letters to state lawmakers. Cal State Long Beach freshman Gabrielle O'Leary filled out a form.
Well, I'm a music education major, and so after college I'm intending to be a high school choir teacher, and so by cutting all this money now, what's going to happen in, you know, 4 years, 5 years when I get out? Am I going to be able to find a job?
The campus president told the crowd Long Beach alone would have to lay off 50 professors and 150 other employees. That means 1,000 fewer students enrolling in the fall. The Faculty Association is planning similar protest rallies at nearly all of Cal State's 23 campuses this week and next. As global protests over Tibet continue, California groups supporting the protesters have been targeted in sophisticated cyber attacks designed to disrupt their work and gather information on their members and activities. LA Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports the attacks have been traced to internet servers in China.
China's crackdown on Tibetans in recent weeks has led to protests from New Delhi to Athens to here along Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles. Dozens wave Tibetan flags screaming in protest on a recent sunny afternoon in front of the federal building in West Los Angeles. But it's not just Tibetans in China who they feel are being unfairly attacked. The demonstrators say China's attacking them, too, with virus-carrying emails.
What's kind of disturbing is that a lot of emails are coming from email addresses of people that I know, but with attachments.
Seton Fanicharis works for three local Tibetan advocacy groups.
When we send each other emails, we don't send the attachments. So as soon as you see an attachment, you know that there's something wrong with it. And very often you find out that the person really didn't send it to you. As a matter of fact, this morning I got something from the Office of His Holiness the Dalai Lama with an attachment.
That same email, which appeared to be coming from the personal email of the exiled Tibetan leader, was sent to hundreds who belonged to an electronic mailing list for Tibet supporters. It carried a so-called Trojan virus. Greg Walton provides tech support to around 300 Tibetan support groups worldwide. He says since the unrest in Tibet began, anyone affiliated with a pro-Tibetan advocacy group has been receiving around 10 carefully crafted virus-laden emails a day.
There's been a marked upsurge in the level of the attacks, and the attacks themselves have become more sophisticated.
Walton researches Chinese cyber attacks at the University of Sunderland in northern England. He says these recent email attacks aren't packaged in your garden variety spam messages selling Viagra.
The emails which the Trojans are attached to have appeared to come from trusted sources, and the language has been quite nuanced, quite subtle. So the user is led to believe that the email has come from a trusted source and so opens the attachment.
Once the attachment is open, says Walton, the user's computer locks up and from then on is under the control of a remote user in another country. Walton has quarantined these viruses to see where they come from. Almost all of them, he says, have been traced back to control servers in China. In some instances, these are the same internet servers that were used to target a number of major U.S. defense contractors late last year. Though the FBI has declined to comment on the cyber attacks on Tibetan organizations, a spokeswoman says the agency is investigating Chinese-based cyber attacks on the defense contractors and on a group working for human rights in Sudan, where China has invested in oil fields. Though Walton knows the attacks on pro-Tibetan organizations are coming from China, he says it's impossible to know whether they're being launched by Chinese government officials.
If you wanted me to speculate about the source, I would say that it's patriotic hackers who've been tasked by the state to attack these networks. Because the networks which have been attacked are all people that China would consider to be enemies to their continued stability.
Chen Shi, a spokesman for the Chinese government, declined to comment on allegations that Chinese officials were launching cyber attacks on pro-Tibetan groups. One of these groups, the Tibet Connection, is a monthly radio program based in Los Angeles. The program's website and an accompanying blog were recently hacked, says Ronnie Novick. He manages the website out of Dharamsala, India. Novick says the attack prevented news updates from inside Tibet from appearing on it, and it enabled the attacker to see who was visiting the site.
We don't have top secret information or plans or anything, but what we feel that is being looked for is our emails to people inside, messages, Skype messages, instant messages, you know, names and phone numbers. We feel that this virus was put on our site today was looking for visitors from China who were visiting our sites.
Novick says the attack couldn't have come at a more vulnerable time. Correspondents for the program were relaying news on the website from sources witnessing the Chinese crackdown in eastern Tibet. Because the site was hacked, he says, the news didn't appear. Staff at the Tibet Connection made a complaint about the website hacking to the FBI. For the California Report, I'm Rob Schmitz in Los Angeles.
That's the California Report for Thursday, March 27th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995, and the California Healthcare Foundation and Cal Hospital Compare, rating hospital quality in California. On the web at calhospitalcompare.org.